This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk here on this Thursday, July 14th. Great to have you with us again. Thanks for making us part of your day. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We're broadcasting live at the Corteva AgriScience Summer Media Day in Johnston, Iowa here today. And really excited to be broadcasting here with the folks from Corteva AgriScience and all of their brands here on the Corteva campus today. We're going to be talking to a couple different folks about some of these new products and innovations they're sharing with media today. Coming up here in just a minute, we're going to talk to Ryan Ritter, the U.S. Product Manager for Biologicals and Fungicides with Corteva AgriScience, about a product that is going to look to bring relief to drought-stressed fields. Very excited about this conversation. Going to share with you here in a minute. Also, coming up later in the show, we're going to talk with Adam Tice of Corteva. He's got some exciting news on some of their corn products that we're going to share with you. Some Enlist corn coming onto the market and much more. We're going to talk about that coming up in segment four. Speaking of the market trade here today, John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing is going to join us coming up in a little bit to go through what we saw in the markets. Fairly choppy, mixed action here today. We're going to discuss it on the way with John Heimberg in just a little bit in segment two. Again, I mentioned, though, I talked about some new products to help alleviate some drought stress in our fields. Ryan Ritter with Corteva joined me out in one of the plots this morning to introduce this new product. Let's listen back to that interview. And we're broadcasting live at the Corteva AgriScience Summer Media Day here in Johnston, Iowa. Joining me now, we have Ryan Ritter with us. He is the U.S. Product Manager for Biologicals and Fungicides for Corteva. Ryan, it's good to catch up with you again, man. How are you?
Great, great. It's a beautiful day here in Iowa.
Well, we appreciate you making some time to join us today. Let's talk a little bit about drought stress in our crops. I think starting there, because obviously we're seeing it right now. We're seeing this heat and dryness start to build back into the plains, and it's a lot of worry for farmers. You know, we're watching our crops in many cases burn up in the fields here the last couple of years, and it's just something that I know has been top of mind for folks here at Corteva as well, Ryan.
So yeah, as we think, weather is one of the key factors in growing any crop. We think about the Midwest, we think across the whole U.S. and across the whole globe, one of the biggest impacts on growing crops is the weather. Mother Nature can either really help us or really hinder us in those geographies. And as we think about, as Corteva's thought about the weather events, and as we've thought about the heat and drought stress, we're really, really excited to be introducing and really, really getting Sostia stress out across the Midwest here this year.
Well, let's talk more about Sostia stress, and you just gave a great presentation on this, but for our listeners listening in at home, talk a little bit more about Sostia stress and how this product works, Ryan.
So Sostia stress is applied foliar at that, I'll say that V4, V5, V6 time frame with a typical herbicide application, or as we're thinking about now, as we're going through that heat and drought stress, as we're thinking at that R1 fungicide application timing, or just as a preventative as we get through tassel, of being able to help offset some of that, of the heat and the drought that we're seeing across the U.S. Sostia stress is a compound that'll get within the plant, and it'll help protect that plant in the molecular way inside the plant to overcome those excessive heat, the amount of drought stress that we'll go through over a 2-3 week time period. It's not going to eliminate. If we don't get water the rest of the year, nothing's going to help, but it's a way to help us buy another week, another 2 weeks, another 3 weeks until that rain comes, and to keep our plants healthy and trying to work for that maximum yield.
Well, I shared a picture from your presentation as well on our social media, our Twitter and Instagram, et cetera. You guys did a test in a heat chamber of a plant, and it was very eye-opening. It's hard to describe how eye-opening it was here on the air, but it was very eye-opening to see how much longer that Sostia Stress plant, that treated plant, lasted versus an untreated plant.
Yes. So we had an inpatient plant that was put in a chamber of 100 degrees, no water, one treated with Sostia Stress, one without, and this being able to help that plant overcome until that next rain event or that next watering, or until it, say, cools back down. So the Sostia Stress is really built into Corteva's overall sustainability goals of helping reduce, I'm going to say, the amount of water that's truly needed. And it's really helping our growers be able to maximize yield in a variety of stressful situations.
And we know growers, I'm sure you're hearing it a lot, we're looking at high commodity prices, or have been, but also high input prices. Some growers are maybe thinking, maybe I'll cut back on this or cut this here, et cetera, et cetera. What would you say to them if they're looking at Sostia Stress and saying, I don't want to put that on the crop, coming up here, or et cetera, et cetera? What would you say to them to convince them to use the product?
I'd say, especially as we're looking at the markets, looking at our crops today, of making sure that we're going to maximize that return on investment. That's what Corteva is really gearing towards, especially as we're bringing some of these newer and different biologicals to marketplace, is being able to deliver that higher ROI and that higher consistency for our growers across the U.S. and really driving the ROI factor. And that's what I would tell every grower today, is if we're sitting here looking, going, hey, do I apply, do I not apply, do I apply a fungicide or do I not apply a fungicide? We're making those decisions over the next week, 2 weeks. So if your crop out there is looking a little bit stressed, it's looking, but you've got potential there, that's when we really want to make those applications.
Now, looking at Sostia Stress timeline available now, we talking 2023. What are we looking at here?
So we've got a limited launch in 2022. It'll be full scale launch in 2023. But if you've got, if you're interested in trying Sostia Stress, today, talk to your local retailer, talk to your local Corteva representative, and they should be able to get you a good look at it this year.
Fantastic. Well, Sostia Stress, looking forward to growers learning more about it, using it. Contact your local Corteva rep to learn more today. Ryan, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here at the Summer Media Day. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And again, big thanks to Ryan Ritter, U.S. Product Manager for Biologicals and Fungicides with Corteva Agriscience, joining me earlier in the plots as we took a plot tour this morning here on the Johnston campus, talking about Sostia Stress, and a really exciting product, especially considering just the drought that we continue to see across the heart of the Corn Belt, the Western Plains. We've seen it here in recent years, seeing it again start to develop, it appears, this growing season. So great stuff there with Ryan Ritter. Coming up here on Market Talk, again, we're going to focus in on the market trade today, as we always do, and look at fairly choppy action across the board. We have plenty to discuss. John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing, he is sitting in for Brian Doherty of Total Farm Marketing today. Brian's out on assignment, so we're going to talk to John coming up here in just a minute, get his thoughts on what's going on in the market trade today. Also coming up here again, we're going to continue our coverage from the Corteva Agriscience Summer Media Day. We're going to talk about corn products, new traits, new products that are being launched into the market with Adam Tice of Corteva Agriscience, and on the Pioneer side there with Adam. We're going to talk about all that coming up as well here at the end of the show. But up next, John Heimberg, Total Farm Marketing, as we're back with more market talk live from the Corteva Agriscience Summer Media Day. We'll be back right after this.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now here on Market Talk, as I broadcast live from the Corteva Agriscience Media Day in Johnston, Iowa, he is at his office in Milwaukee, though, John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing, joining us today. John, good afternoon to you, sir, and thanks for pinch hitting for Brian here today. I was thinking it might be another week or so before we got to talk, John, but good to have you back on here this week.
Yeah, the Farm Technology Day is going on in Wisconsin, so Brian had to be out of the office, and so glad that we're on the pitch in, as we got a lot of things happening in these markets this week.
we do have a lot happening in the markets. And, you know, just from when we talked on Monday till today, been a lot of interesting dynamics. We've seen that July WASD come and go. We've had this CPI data come out yesterday, that hot inflation number. And then, you know, we're talking weather factors. There's a lot of macro, micro factors weighing into these markets right now. And as I look at things today, I mean, corn relatively firm, beans leaking lower, wheat leaking lower. I mean, there's just a lot playing into this grain market right now, John.
There really is. We got so many different headlines. Now let's just kind of clean up all that outside stuff and put that to the sidelines right now. Let's go focus on the weather forecast. Let's focus on what we're seeing in front of us for forecasted temperatures. You know, typically that should be something that would help rally this market in this window. I mean, you're looking at, you know, strong heat moving in next week, 100 degrees plus being forecasted here for the heart of the Grain Belt region. You know, we got pollination right around the corner, if not starting to move into some of those windows. You know, typically that's an environment we see prices lift. Now we start throwing all the layers on the other side with that inflation data yesterday, the concerns regarding the Fed, the weakness of the crude oil market, you know, just the political unrest as, you know, Prime Minister from Italy, Mario Draghi, decided to step down now. All those things come into play that keep the commodity sector and the markets in a risk-off mentality. You know, realistically, the corn market's actually performing pretty doggone well today, given all that outside information. So that's out there. So we'll have to see. So again, it's one of those things right now, one is trying to outweigh the other, where the money wants to be. And for the most part today, it's been pressuring the beans and the wheat market. And corn, like I said, has at least hung in there, as we've seen kind of some broad-based selling overall in the commodity sector overall today.
Well, John, this market really the last couple of weeks, and we've seen it especially here this week, it's really just become about money flow, isn't it? It's come about, you know, become about whether, you know, the New York funds, the hedge funds, they're going to put money back into the commodities or not. And to me, it feels like that money's probably going to be on the sidelines for a little while, which may or may not be a good thing, John.
Very much so. I think that's where we're kind of at right now. And, you know, we put a pretty significant low in, especially in these grain markets, corn and beans here, you know, last week with the move that we saw. We did bounce off those. We retested them. We're holding them for the most part here, at least today. You know, so we'll see how that kind of comes together. You know, I don't know if anybody wants to put their neck out there with so many things going on, especially too with the Fed meeting next week and what's going to happen with interest rates. What's going to happen in terms of these outside markets? You know, again, just a lot of moving parts right now. Like if it was a normal type market year where the only thing we were focusing on was weather, that money would be flowing in probably at this time frame to put some weather premium in. But again, we could wake up tomorrow with a headline that could cause this market to plummet. And that's one of the reasons why you're seeing that money stay to the sidelines. And it's just a risk-off mentality because of the uncertainty. And markets do not like uncertainty. It brings volatility. It brings price risk. And right now, with the way things have been for these and some of these managed money positions, their safest place is just on the sidelines.
Do you think, speaking to the corn market today, do you think part of why corn held in there so well is probably this heat and dryness coming in? Because, I mean, this is the corn pollination time. We're a couple weeks behind on our crops, but so we're getting into that corn pollination time, whereas you think soybeans, we have a little more time. That's more of an August window. It just feels like that maybe corn is doing its best to hold in there because that forecast looks so threatening, John.
I would say that's the biggest factor right now, at least gives corn market some support. And again, so there is some technical push here. I mean, that was a good turn off that low last week. And we maintained that this so far with the sell-off here those last couple of days, and we're still holding above that low. So that keeps some of the buyers in the market, at least at this stage. But again, we got a ridge that's supposed to be starting to form. We're watching a little bit of a weather system coming through here Friday night into Saturday, you know, what they call it, like a ridge runner storm system over the top. How west does that moisture get? That's going to be the big focus on it. And what's going to be the coverage and the extent of it? If it stays a little more easterly and that Iowa crop area stays dry with that heat coming, you'll see this premium come in pretty quickly, I would assume, like we saw Monday, you know, this week. So that's going to be the big focus right now, is going to be that side of the models, where the weather is. You know, we've seen things dry out a little bit yesterday, you know, and again, they're going to change on an hour by hour basis. But right now, the weather is probably at least keeping the corn market supported here, you know, because the demand side, you know, export sales numbers were not very good today. We're still competing with those Brazilian bushels down south coming into this marketplace, you know, and that just makes it very difficult for us to rally there. But we do need some premium in, know, because if the USDA comes back in August, all of a sudden that yield number comes down from 177 down a couple bushels or a bushel or so, that supply picture tightens up very quickly again next fall, even with those like extra acres that we put into the USDA report here this week.
John, one more thing on the corn as well. I'm hearing some chatter from some farmers across the country how they've forward contracted some corn, and they're looking maybe, especially in that Western Corn Belt, they're looking at their crop now and going, oh, this thing's burning up, and they're worried that they're not going to have the bushels to cover those deliveries this fall. So I'm hearing some talks. Some guys are looking for some different re-ownership strategies, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, if someone's in that position where they maybe forward contracted a little too much cash bushels, et cetera, and they're worried about their crop now, is there anything they could really do to try and cover themselves?
Well, you can come back with some ownership strategies, call strategies, or come back onto the board. But, you know, again, we've got so much volatility in there. You want to make sure you got something protecting the other side of this coin. You know, again, if you're going long and aggressive on the board, you got to make sure you're playing some stops underneath this market, under those lows from either, the yesterday or last week. Because if we break those lows, the technical sellers could kick in very, very quickly. But again, call strategies are probably the best. Get some ownership in. They got some cost to them, but at least you got yourself protected. You know, at least kind of see where we are in the next few weeks. Maybe some of those short day calls might be a good way to go. A little less time. You know, if the market does really kick in because the production's not there for you, you know, those can get turned into December futures, and still then you got that ownership to protect those contracts. So that's kind of the biggest thing. Again, just look at your individual situation, talk with your advisor, and, you know, to protect yourself some way or another. Because if this thing does take off and we do see a reduction in those yields, and then next thing you know, that supply picture tightens up significantly, you know, this market's got a lot of volatility in it, and that money can pour in as quickly as it left here, and we could go back and retest those highs, and then you're going to be really behind the eight ball in terms of those contracts.
You mentioned export sales a little bit ago, John. Wheat. Wow, what a number there this morning. And I think I saw we haven't seen a number that big since, 2013, roughly. What happened there with export sales for wheat today, John?
Maybe it's finally a reflection that those Ukrainian bushels just aren't out there. And then with this break in price, all of a sudden U.S. wheat got on the competitive side. Now, you know, very interestingly today, more of it probably tied to the strong dollar again in here today. But all that got us was a sell-off off the highs in the wheat market, again, keeping things in front of this. And, you know, the USDA even anticipated that a little bit, bumping the export number up on the report this week, you know, just expecting that price break brings a little bit more business in. But it was encouraging. That's something we've been just kind of sitting here going, okay, when's the business coming? When's that export trade coming into that wheat market? It was kind of under the radar, and that was a good number today, breaking the million metric ton mark. Now we need to see that continue a little bit here before we probably really get some price premium in. But again, that U.S. dollar breaking out the 20-year highs plus here again yesterday, actually 40-year highs, excuse me, yesterday, you know, just continues to put a lot of pressure on the commodity sector and the export trade that we're seeing at this time frame. So, you know, again, we'll have to watch the trend there. That money is still flowing strongly into the dollar, especially with that inflation number and the prospects of how aggressive the Fed's going to be at their next meeting with interest rates.
Yeah, that headline CPI number yesterday, 9.1% inflation. I've heard some talk from the Fed of a 100 basis point rate hike. Do you think that's really possible, John? Do you think they would go that far?
You know, you hear the analysts out there in the business world on those markets, and we're kind of at the stage where, you know, the cattle's already out of the pen here. We need to get aggressive and get under control of this thing. So that's probably not off the table. If definitely for sure, if they stay with that 75-point level that they did last month, that's kind of the focus, I think, for July. But now we're definitely looking at another bump here in the next meetings in September. You know, so to me, if they got to get on top of this, they need to be aggressive, and that may be the logical move to go, even though it may have some ramifications throughout the entire economy in that regard. But, you know, right now that number was fairly ugly yesterday. Now, that may be a peaking number. I mean, you think about what's happened to the commodity sector, what's happened to the energy sector. You know, prices have started coming down, at least in terms of some of those headline items. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But again, right now that they're behind the eight ball, it feels like, and they may have to get that aggressive to try to get this under control.
That's John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. We'll continue our conversation coming up next. Back with more market talk on the way right after this.
Get the coolest savings on propane during the warmest months with the Summer Fill Program from FS. The FS Propane Summer Fill Program offers customers the opportunity to fill their propane tanks during the summer when demand is less and prices are typically lower. From periodic propane system inspections to convenient payment options, you'll appreciate what FS dedicated propane professionals can do for you. Contact your local FS member cooperative today or visit fspropane.com.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk here on this Thursday, July 14th. Jesse Allen with you here broadcasting live in Johnston, Iowa today at the Corteva AgriScience Summer Media Day. We are talking with John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. He's based in Milwaukee, in the Milwaukee area. We're going to get back to our conversation with John in just a second. Looking at some of our closing numbers, September corn up 5 today, 6.05. December up 5 and 3 quarters, 6.01. August beans down 13, 14.71 to 3 quarters. November down 8.5, 13.41. August bean meal up $1.70 a ton, 438.90. August bean oil down 86 points, 58.14. September Chicago wheat 15 to 3 quarters lower, 7.95. December down 14 and a quarter, 8.13 and a half. September Kansas City wheat down 13 and a half, 8.48 and 3 quarters. Looking as well at spring wheat today, we saw spring wheat for September. That was down 2 and 3 quarters at 9.11. In the livestock trade today, August live cattle down 147, 135.40. October live cattle down 135, 139.92. December down 135, 146.30. Feeder cattle for August 190 lower, 178.90. September down 145 at 181.62. July lean hogs 42 higher, 114.92. August down 92 at 109.57. And October hogs down 20 at 93.35. Crude oil down 52 cents a barrel, 95.78. S&P down 15, NASDAQ up 33, the Dow Jones down 178 points. And again, coming up here as we broadcast live from the Corteva AgriScience Media Day here in Johnston, going to be talking to Adam Tice in segment four. They got some new exciting hybrids, some new corn products that they are unveiling, announcing one here today as well at the Media Day that we're going to be talking to him about and just talking about some of the general things he's hearing across the Corn Belt from farmers here this growing season. That's coming up next in segment four. Right now, though, let's get back to our conversation with John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. John, let's switch gears, talk a little bit about the soybean market as well here today. You know, beans fell off as we worked through the session. Meal still held some strength. We've seen a little bit of spreading between meal and oil here the last couple of days, depending on the day. You look at the soy complex, it seems like, again, the weather risk is there, but anything else stand out to you there here as we look at things on Thursday, John?
You know, that bean oil market has just been bludgeoned over the last few weeks here. And again, couldn't find any traction today. And, you know, that was such a premium adding to that bean market all through the spring and the end of the winter with that prospects of biodiesel. And then, this, you know, the edible oil market taking off. Feels like all of a sudden the edible oil market's finding its footing in terms of supplies. So that's been bringing those prices down. You throw the drop in crude oil and that impact on that biodiesel side. And that has just really taken that soybean oil premium off the soybean market. Maybe it's acting a little bit more normal now, per se, where the soybean meal oil spreads are coming in play, where we crush beans for this meal side instead of the oil. You know, that's usually the profit area was for the crushers has been the meal over history. And now this year, it's all been about that oil market. So maybe we're getting a little bit of equilibrium. Again, you know, bean market today just couldn't hold in there. Again, that's just probably the reflection of what we're seeing in that overall marketplace. Plus, we're really concerned about what's going on with the Chinese. Now, obviously, we saw the June shipment numbers in terms of their exports down significantly from last year. Again, that's some of those crush margins that's not very profitable over there. We did see the USDA, probably the number that was the most frustrating or not most disappointing in that report was that 65 million bushel cut on the export demand for next year. You know, so the market may be already figuring some, you know, weakness in that demand, even with the supply picture being tight. You know, we need that demand market to fire up. You know, here we get export sales today, cancellations of old crop by 390,000 tons. you know, that just doesn't help out in that picture that right now we're in a, you know, lack of demand market overall. And it just makes beans, you know, still a little bit heavy. We did finish well off the lows today, but still negative on the day. It would have been nice if we could at least held some positive gains. But again, fundamentals, what's happening on the demand side, what's the macro market? Again, we still got a little bit of time on weather. If this forecast does hold into August, that bean premium will probably come back pretty quickly because, again, any movement off yield, that's going to really tighten up a very tight picture.
Well, you mentioned China in there, and I think that's something that we have to keep in the back of our minds just with what's going on there and talk of stimulus and more. But that also weighs into the protein sector, into hogs and cattle. And specifically, I think with that hog market reports that, you know, maybe they ramped up hog production so that could help out soybeans. But then on the flip side, if they have ramped up their hog production, what's that going to do for our exports to China? And so you look at that side of the equation on the protein sector, that's, I think that's a fairly big demand story that we have to watch here as we get into the third and fourth quarter more, John.
Very much so. You know, we got some numbers out of China too that, you know, meat production or meat imports are down about 30% year over year right now. Now that's probably more reflective in the pork side because beef demand has been very, very good. They've become from basically a non-existent customer to our third largest purchaser of U.S. beef here in the last year and a half, basically. So that number is still a positive number on the year is the movement of beef to China, but that pork number is concerning. Now, with that, pork prices in China have been on the climb. They're worried about food inflation. They were very active in the export market last week. Didn't pick up much this week, a little over 1,000 tons. You know, so they are picking up some pork product to hopefully try to get that pork price under control. You know, there's some concerns over there economically right now. If you're kind of reading the little headlines that are popping out, issues in their real estate sector, they put that stimulus package out there. Food inflation is starting to come on the push for them as well. And that's something we got to keep an eye on because if the economic situation in China were to happen to fall apart dramatically, that's just going to have ripple effects and, you know, sledgehammer effects through these markets in general. So another layer of risk that we got to focus on besides just what's happening in terms of our global economics and our economics here in the United States, what's going to happen if the world's largest consumer of goods, which is China, they run into problems and fall into a recessionary type play. So another reason why, again, we're seeing maybe some of these markets just not get the footing that it needs. You've seen that in the soybean market, cotton market. You know, hogs have had a nice run, but seem to be topped out a little bit right in this window. And maybe that's some of the reason why.
And hogs, looking at our board today, that July contract getting ready to go off the board here tomorrow, still holding a premium to that August contract. I'll be watching that dynamic, especially as we get into next week, I think, John.
Very much so. And you go look at the cash index. You know, the cash market's been pretty solid in that hog market. Mm-hmm. That futures expiration is a big key. That's also happening in the soybean and the corn and the wheat markets, too, as those July contracts also come off here. You know, so that was a big impact. I think it's maybe some of the volatility in prices today as well. You know, so we'll have to see where we're at. You know, you got the index trading at 112, July still at 114. So we got some discrepancy there going into the last trading day. And then that August contract looks a little undervalued, but especially given the cash market and where it is. You know, the hog numbers are still relatively tight overall. So that's still something we got to focus on, you know, is where we are in terms of those hog numbers. I still like that market going forward, but again, maybe dealing with a little bit more of the macro versus the fundamentals in this window, you know, especially this time of year.
Cattle side, seeing a little more cash trade today, but the futures down a little bit. Do you feel like that was maybe some consolidation here today, John?
I think very much so, especially with the outside market influence. You know, we had a heck of a run in the cattle market the first half of this week here, especially in that feeder market. You know, again, that kind of bucked the trend versus the other commodity space overall, at least in terms of, you know, we saw that commodity pressure and the cattle market seemed to get the bid on some money flow. You know, the funds are pretty tight on that cattle market. They're only sitting on 14,000 long contracts. They got some room to push this with cash, especially the discrepancy between the north and the south. Maybe the market's a little bit undervalued there, you know, especially what you're hearing in terms of the feeder side of the equation. You know, there that market felt a little undervalued and it was due for a move and we finally got it. Now we're consolidating. We'll finish out the rest of the week. Obviously, we got to watch those weather forecasts because that's going to come into play in those cattle weights next week as well. If those high temperatures hit cattle country like they're forecasted for, and that'll help provide a little bit more support in that cash market.
How about the dairy side? Seeing red on the screen there today, John. Any thoughts with what we're seeing in the dairy markets?
again, we're falling under the same types of issues of consumer demands, a concern drop in cheese prices, 5-6 cents a pound today for blocks and barrels, respectively. You know, now we're talking $20 plus milk. You know, milk had its time frame. We consolidated around that $25 handle for basically 2.5-3 months there. Now we've broken the downside, and a lot of times that just brings additional selling pressure. So I'm a little concerned here as we're getting down under the $20 handle. You know, even though production may not be there at this time frame, but with corn prices coming down, milk prices coming down, again, we're just seeing that money leave those commodity spaces, again, just bringing some value out of those markets.
Well, John, fantastic stuff as always. I didn't mention this as well either, but the cotton market, another rough day today. Limit down moves there again. Just a lot of volatility remaining in the market trade. Before we go, any final thoughts, anything else you want to reiterate for us here on this Thursday?
You know, this is a concerning time right now. Usually in a recessionary type market, commodities do fairly well. But right now in this window, there was a lot of money moving around and they want to get to the sidelines. And they're going to do that in this window. We saw that into the end of June. Try to get a little bit of movement. Now we're seeing it here. You're looking at those commodities that are affected by the recession, possible trade, affected by what could be happening overseas in China. And the cotton market is a classic example of how quickly things can truly fall apart. So again, still got good value out there. I'd be a seller on rallies and most of these commodities, at least in this window, until we just have a better feeling of where we are as an economy here in the United States and globally. So definitely stay cautious.
Well, John, if producers need some advice, I know they can reach out to you and the team at Total Farm Marketing very easily. How can they do that?
Again, love chat with them anytime. Give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. Again, don't forget about our website, totalfarmmarketing.com. A lot of great information for producers out there.
John, appreciate it as always, sir. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, everybody, and we'll see you in a little bit.
And that's John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. Coming up next, we'll continue here from the Corteva AgriScience Summer Media Day. We're going to talk new corn products with Adam Tice of Corteva. That's next here on Market Talk.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here broadcasting from the Corteva AgriScience Summer Media Day in Johnston, Iowa. Earlier, I spoke with Adam Tice talking corn products from Corteva's brands, including the Pioneer brand, etc. And we're going to talk to Adam about some of these new products that they are announcing here today and introducing. Here is that interview from this morning. And joining us now, we have Adam Tice, Pioneer Corn Marketing Lead, with us here. Adam, it's good to catch up with you, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. We are talking here. We're in the middle of a plot here in Johnston for Summer Media Day, and it's great to be here. Let's talk a little bit. You guys have some new exciting products you're announcing today, but before we get there, I want to talk just a little bit about where we are currently to kind of set us up for those new products. So let's talk a little bit about just where we're at on the corn side right now with Pioneer, with what, you know, growers have presumably put in the field this year.
Yeah, so Pioneer Corn Brand Hybrids, the genetics are exclusive to the Pioneer brand. Currently being planted today in Acremax is our primary above ground insect protection technology brand, and then Chrome is primarily our below ground or corn rootworm segment brand, and we're seeing fantastic results out of both of those protections. Our last couple advancement classes that are really field proven and leaders coming through with the most elite genetics and best gains and technology being incorporated into breeding are delivering on average over the last 3 years combined an 8.3 bushel per acre advantage over the competition, and we expect that to happen again this fall.
Well, we think with those products, and you guys are obviously on the cutting edge trying to make sure farmers are taken care of in their fields. We think about corn rootworm pressure, other diseases, tar spot, et cetera, you name it. So you guys are doing your best. And those products, as you mentioned, really have been top of line here as we've worked into 2022, but more products on the horizon. But you think about corn rootworm pressure as well, specifically. I mean, that's something the growers are worried about every day, Adam.
Yeah, corn rootworm is a primary pest of concern for a large geography of corn acres across the U.S., which is why we've given the focus we have to targeting that pest. We feel really good about the yield potential and the agronomic strength that Chrome is delivering today, but we want to continue to evolve and upgrade so we can stay ahead of that protection for our farmer customers moving forward. So here recently, we introduced Vorceed Enlist to the Pioneer brand corn product line, and it's really exciting because it's going to give farmers the flexibility to maximize the return on investment opportunities on their corn rootworm acres.
Yeah, and you guys introduced Vorceed, I believe, a commodity classic. I think we talked about that down there a little bit. Here today, you guys are announcing something else as well, PowerCore. So tell us a little bit more about this and what this is looking like here, the next advancement for your guys' hybrid technology.
It's exciting. All the different innovations coming to the Pioneer brand are really exciting, and PowerCore Enlist is one of those innovations. So PowerCore Enlist will be the next trait platform for our above ground segment, and it's bringing a couple different benefits for farmers. It's bringing comprehensive insect control, it's continuing to deliver elite and exclusive Pioneer genetics to farmers, but it's also bringing the Enlist corn system to the corn acre, and that really complement our other crops like soybeans out in the marketplace as well. And the Enlist corn system is bringing a couple main benefits to farmers. First of all, it's a wide application window for tough to control broadleaf weeds. In fact, farmers can spray up to 30 inch corn on label and even 48 inch corn using drop nozzles. It also has near zero volatility when used in accordance with label instructions, and much less volatility when compared to traditional 2,4-D and dicamba formulations.
Now, talking about these products, you just gave a presentation. Fantastic listening to that. For our listeners, though, when are we going to see these products become available on the marketplace? When should they be expecting them?
We'll advance the first round of PowerCore Enlist RA hybrids into the Pioneer brand this fall at that time. Those hybrids will then be available for the 2023 planting season.
What about maturity? I mean, what are we looking at? Are we looking at like a 90, 95-day corn, 100-day? What are we looking at there?
Yeah, we're going to look at a focused and targeted introduction to the 2023 season. We're really looking at that 95 to 105 relative maturity range, but we're going to quickly ramp it up after that. I would expect 24 and 25 to expand PowerCore Enlist into a wider RM offering in more geographies to make sure that all U.S. corn farmers have the opportunity to plant this technology on their farm quickly.
Yeah, at least starting with the kind of the heart of the Corn Belt with that 95 to 105 maturity range. I should ask you as well, Adam, since I have you here, we're looking at this growing season, we're seeing a lot of dryness build into some areas. What are you hearing from farmers across the country when it comes to disease pressures, pest pressures, weeds, etc.? What are you hearing? What's some of the big concerns here this growing season?
Yeah, I'd say by and large, most Pioneer corn customers we talk to are very happy with how their crop is looking, both in overall plant health and standability with some of the weather events that have come through this growing season already. I'd say moisture is probably the number one concern right now, and lack thereof or drought-like conditions in different pockets across the U.S. And that's where our focus on Aquamax drought-tolerant hybrids has really helped out some of those farmers in those traditional water-limiting soils. But we're seeing that same topic come up in places where aren't traditionally water-limiting. So that's certainly a concern that we're partnering with growers and trying to help them through. And the other one is just overall plant health. What diseases are currently prevalent in the crop and which ones, like tar spot, could be prevalent, as that tends to be a later season stage of crop life disease.
Well, and do you think as well, we did see a lot of later planted corn this year. Do you think that's maybe delayed some of those diseases like tar spot? Because I'm just starting to get reports of maybe seeing a little bit of tar spot show up here and there, and it seems to be a few weeks behind, Adam.
Yeah, we're seeing some reports come in across a variety of states from our agronomists where they're identifying out in different states, traditionally those that had that same inoculum in the field from last season. So I do expect that to be a topic of conversation moving forward. It's really weather dependent and how much moisture. It really enjoys moisture in that canopy to keep that disease growing. What's exciting, though, is that there are differences in germplasm and tolerance and tar spot. And for the most part, Pioneer corn hybrids are industry leading in tar spot tolerance. So hybrid selection is really number one choice. And by growers planting Pioneer already this season, they've already protected themselves a lot. But there are times fungicides will be needed to have additional control on that disease. And our Pioneer sales reps are working hand in hand with customers to understand their individual needs at a field by field basis.
Well, fantastic, and a lot of exciting things, and I'm sure growers are going to want to learn more about the new products we talked about. They'll just have to reach out to their local Pioneer sales rep, agronomist, etc., go online, can't they, Adam?
Yep, they can do all those things. Our local Pioneer sales rep is the expert of all things Pioneer and the face of the company, and they should go to them for any questions.
With that, Adam Tyson, Pioneer, I appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me here at the Summer Media Day. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for Market Talk today. Have a fantastic Thursday. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.